Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the final edition of Touchdown Tips for the 2025 season. Proudly brought to you by E.T. Everett Monuments and Memorials and Saucer Monuments, the Eagle Tavern, Quandle Concrete, Bureau Septic and Drain, Alpine Building Supply, and Daywald and Lengel. Coach, the early part of the week, great weather to be on the Linkser as the season concluded for you old farts.
Well, I'll tell you what, there was a bunch of those old guys on Wednesday, had a beautiful day at the golf course, and for whatever reason, I shot basically my best score the whole year.
Wow.
And I have no idea why.
57 on 18.
No. But I was shot almost my age.
Almost?
Yeah, I was a little bit higher than my age. But
wow.
I was in that septuagenarian thing.
Well, you get like a 71.
No, that's how old I am. I wasn't quite that
Coach,
good.
I'd ask you what your handicap is, but I can see it's picking games, so I won't even bother.
No, absolutely it is. You are correct.
Wow.
Chaz.
I deserve that.
Early late here, isn't it?
Chaz, did you notice he had his best week when the Battling Miners and the Dogs out in the Valley won?
Could have something to do with it. Could have something to do with it. The only question is, when's his next trip to Florida? Because I know he's got one on the red eye. Leroy, business as usual?
Taking care of business every day.
So what's new and exciting?
Hey, shout out to the, we talk football here, but shout out to the volleyball and soccer teams that are still left in the state playoffs. We have four teams left that are playing tomorrow in the state playoffs second round. Bob and I will be all over Eastern PA tomorrow covering soccer and volleyball.
Jeez, Bob, do you ever get a break? You're the hardest working man in sports media.
Not this week, I'll tell you that much. But I love it. You know, those volleyball and soccer kids, they deserve a lot of credit, you know, getting this far. State quarterfinals, that's a great season for all of them.
Not that I want to tip my hand, Bob, on the Nittany Bits coming up a little later on in the program. But were you as optimistic as Terry Smith was during that halftime interview?
Don't get me started. This is just ridiculous. And we'll get to it later in the program, but I'm just completely disgusted with them right now.
Eli Maction, and you're starting to figure out everything, and oh, baby, here you go. I mean, come on.
I'm just giving Jim a little tease over here, you know, tipping my hand a little bit to him. You know, let him see the early, you know, what I'm putting together over here.
Oh, mm-hmm.
Otherwise, yeah, Maction's great right now. I mean, not a lot of people fans of this week's Prime Entertainment, but we'll get to that later.
We will get to that later. Jimmy, how's things?
Things are amazing. I cannot believe it's week 12 right now. Crazy. And it's my last week get to sit next to Eli Doyle, so it's a little sad. It's a little sad.
You will still have the Delhauk fan club meetings once a week?
Well, now that we're going to be off season, they'll go once a month. But then once baseball comes around, we ramp it back up.
When do I owe my dues?
Weekly.
Okay.
Weekly.
10-4. Jerry, is it 10? Is it 15? Not a good week for you as far as your picks went, but we'll talk about that in a little bit.
Are you talking about fingers?
No.
I was going to say, you're way off
no,
there.
No. I had to ask after last Thursday night's game, watching him work his vocation, okay? There was a pass interference call, and the umpire stopped at 10 instead of 15. I figured he would have stopped at 9.5 if he was only counting with those hands, Jimmy. But Jerry, what's up?
Nothing. Busy week at work. Had some time to jot some stuff down. I know Jimmy's excited for that, so.
Well, yes. I mean, Crystal Ball probably wasn't working as hard as you. She was out front just taking regular phone calls where you were helping folks when they needed help the most.
That's correct.
So should we review last week, Gerald?
No, we shouldn't.
Do you have stats on this?
We should just move right on.
We're
going to
start with you, as you are the sole provider and sole owner of the E.T. Everett Monuments and Memorial Saucer Monuments Tomb Stone Award. You were 11-4, Jerry.
Yeah.
You went down on a lean pick of Saucon Valley. The entire panel picked Tennessee to beat Oklahoma. That didn't happen. Most of the panel but one picked Dallas to upend Arizona. That didn't happen. But your Maction game gotcha. Buffalo defeated Bowling Green, Jerry.
Yeah, no idea. It was really bad pick.
You want to correct him on something?
Yeah,
you attempted to help him.
I tried right before he made his pick. I tried to tell him Bowling Green's quarterback was out, and he was like, I know, I got everything. I'm Mr. Stack Guy, blah, blah, blah. And then he just went.
That had nothing to do with it.
No, he was hoping that Eddie George still had eligibility, because I think he's the coach of Bowling Green.
Oh, yeah.
In this day and age, I think everybody has eligibility.
That's right.
You might have some, Del.
No.
Jerry, 11-4 was the bottom of the barrel, but two guys at the front lost 3 of 15, 12 in 3 weeks for Jimmy and Leroy. Leroy, Saucon Valley, got you. Actually, your three picks were all together, Jimmy. Saucon Valley, Tennessee, and Dallas.
Yeah, I mean, Saucon Valley, of course, the Colonial League. I can't pick it to save my life. It is what it is.
You know, we're three games behind Bob. It's starting to look like, you know, maybe he's pulling away.
It's getting late early.
It is. It's getting late early. Someone says.
Then a few guys had two wrong, and we'll start with Eli because you get this week's Biros Royal Flush on your pick of Marion to defeat Tri-Valley.
Yeah, but how doesn't that cancel out with my upset pick?
Of Arizona. Oh, it does. Both the Royal Flushes just won the opposite end of the crapper.
I'll take that.
You know what I mean?
You're all upper decker.
I mean, you know, you lost a 3-0 ball game there with Marion on a 50-yard field goal that was the deciding factor. That may have been the first time a kicker was the player of the game on a T-102 broadcast.
Yeah, fitting for that game.
Fitting. You also lost on Tennessee with the panel. Del, you lost Tennessee and Dallas, the same as Bob and I. I mean, yep. The three of us are pro games, or no, the college game and the pro game got us.
Yep, absolutely.
We were sterling the rest of the way.
How about those Cowboys?
Stink. Even a Cowboys loss is a win for me.
True statement.
I lost the game, but the Cowboys lost the real game, so I'm happy about that.
Well, I'll tell you this. Anytime Dallas shows up on one of these cards for the next 4 weeks, because we will be picking on T102SportsNow.com. I will not pick that. Eli, I'm going to make the pledge that I will pick against Dallas if they show up on this card again for the rest of the season.
Hey, you're telling me to kiss the shoulder. You guys should all be kissing my feet.
Oh. Well, let's talk about exactly where the standings are. As long
what
as
a humble
feet,
man you
I
are.
I thought something else was coming. But anyway, Bob, still perched across the top as the king. A 3-game lead over the next spot. 137-28.
Just hanging in there, trying to grind it out.
Has anybody figured out the percentages on this? Because,
I think at one time, Bob was 81%. Like 2 weeks ago, maybe, he was like at 81%, which is dynamite. But I expect nothing less out of Bob.
Now, 3 games back, there are 3 players tied. The king is on the rise as he's tied with Leroy and Jimmy, everybody at 134-31.
Showtime, baby.
Yeah, I mean, listen. What do you say? You're trying to beat a legend here. It's tough. It's tough.
This is awesome. I get to go to games now with this T102 Sports Now and everything. I didn't get to do that in my old position, so I didn't pick nearly as well.
Well, you have a better boss now too.
Yeah, shout out Leroy.
It's a whole better situation at the moment.
You know, I always go back though. Like, and I say this is very tough. But if Jerry can win this, I think anybody can.
Well, Jimmy, you know, the interesting thing that I learned before we started recording tonight's show last year was not the first. First year, you were unseated by a Doyle, and could it happen again?
I don't remember that happening.
Did Dan Doyle ever win in the paper?
I don't believe.
No,
you gave me misinformation.
Sorry. I'm sorry. I believe he told me he won.
And 3 games behind you, fellas, I'm at 131-34. Jerry at 130-35, and then Dell, you're starting to come out of the cellar. Only 5 games in back of the nearest contestant at 125-40. Can you catch Jerry over the next 4 to 5 weeks?
Probably not. And since you asked there, Jim, winning percentage of Mr. Lipsky right now is at 83%.
That is absolutely amazing.
How about it? And my question, since you have the pulse of Las Vegas, what are the odds of him winning the whole show here?
Now?
Yes.
Oh, he's a clear-cut favorite, minus 600 the last time I seen him.
Okay.
All right, the year is plus 2,100. Guess who went in on that? Right. I went in on Bob at plus 2,100.
There you go.
I wouldn't even bet myself.
Well, there were some games last night because we record on a
Wednesday.
So we're going to talk about those and more. And the picking's going to get started when we come back on Touchdown Tips.
Losing a loved one is never an easy ordeal, and becoming overwhelmed can happen relatively easily. During the grieving process, one of the last things to stress about should be how to honor someone who's passed. Since 1847, E.T. Everett & Sons has provided beautiful ways for Schuylkill County residents to honor their families and loved ones. From beautifully sculpted monuments to handcrafted bronze or granite memorial markers, we can add a special touch to any memorial tribute. Located at 138 East South Street in Monoy City, phone 570-773-0210. Open Monday through Friday, 8 to 4:30. E.T. Everett & Sons, Monoy City.
For all your building and remodeling needs, the name to know is Quandl Concrete, now operating out of its brand new 16,000 square foot facility. Quandl Concrete has been the leading provider for large industrial jobs, private contractors, and homeowners. Quandl Concrete now has its own concrete color machine that has hundreds of different colors to choose from. Quandl Concrete also offers a variety of decorative concrete retaining wall block. Visit us at www.quandlconcrete.com or in person at 9 Schaefer's Hill Road, Minersville.
Looking for great food, cold drinks, and a spot that welcomes your pup? Come on down to the Eagle Tavern in Pottsville. Our historic building has been serving up good times for decades, and now our dog-friendly patio is the perfect place to hang with your best friend, furry or otherwise. Great atmosphere, classic American food, local brews, and crafted cocktails, all in a one-of-a-kind setting. Check out our menu online at eagletavern.com and find us in downtown Pottsville along East Norwegian Street. The Eagle Tavern. Sit, stay, sip.
Welcome back to the final week of Touchdown Tips. Let's take a look at tonight's broadcast schedule. On T102 North, Schuylkill is traveling to Northwestern Lehigh District 11 3A semifinal. Tomorrow night on WPTA, Northern Lehigh comes into Schuylkill Haven, and Minersville at Williams Valley will be on T102. Both of those are 6 p.m. kicks. North Schuylkill at Northwestern Lehigh tonight, getting started at 7:10. Is kickoff slated for that one. However, last night on game that was broadcast on T102, but we record on a
Wednesday.
So we're going to talk about Blue Mountain traveling to Southern Lehigh, and we're going to start with you, Bob, as the champ. You covered the game, but this is recorded before we saw what happened. So what's your thoughts?
Well, my thoughts are Blue Mountain's in this game with a chance. Southern Lehigh, they're really, really good, but Blue Mountain, I think, matches up really well with Southern Lehigh. They're big, they're fast, they play good defense. I just think Blue Mountain's playing its best football right now. And I'm going to go out on a limb, and I'm going to take the Eagles.
Jerry, you've come with a plethora of notes to climb your way back into the 4A here, 7 games behind the leader. What are we hearing on this one?
Not many stats for this game. Just the last 2 times they played, though. This year was early. What, game 1 of the season, 28-0 Southern Lehigh. Last year was, or game 2, sorry.
It was game 1.5, Jerry.
1.5 for me, yes. 2024 was 32-20. Last Thursday's game, Blue Mountain was pretty impressive.
Ooh,
what they did to Lehigh. Really impressive, Blue Mountain, all facets of the game there. It dominated every aspect of it. I think they're going to play good this game. I think they're going to come ready to play. I think they're going to run the ball well. I'm just not sure they're going to have enough to get by Southern Lehigh, so I'm going to go with Southern Lehigh.
Yeah, I think in that first meeting, Blue Mountain turned the ball over 3 times in the first half, and all 3 led to Southern Lehigh touchdowns. How much has Blue Mountain grown up since that game? I think it's by leaps and bounds. I mean, I saw them against Pottsville. I was very impressed. They did some really good things, especially last week against Lehigh. Colin Kirby has matured as a quarterback into a standout. And the two running backs, you know, between Foose and Smith, offer a little bit of everything. You know, you got the speed of Foose, and you have the power-type running back of Smith. Blue Mountain's weakness in the games that matter this year has been stopping the run when the opposing team has a big offensive line. Southern Lehigh has a monstrous offensive line. They're not flashy. They just line up and punch it right down the middle with Sean Steckert, 19, 22, and 26 touchdowns on the year. This is a good measuring stick to see how far Blue Mountain has come. I just don't think they have enough. I'm going to take Southern Lehigh.
It's everything you guys said. I'd seen them too, and they've really improved. Kirby will have a terrific high school career as a quarterback. He's really impressive. Gears is really fast. Running backs are good. Saw Southern Lehigh. Also, I would think the Stecker kid will carry the ball 30 times anyway. That's their MO. Will it be the point that when you get to the fourth quarter, those 4 and 5 yard, 3 yard runs will end up being 10, 12, and maybe a break? Southern's the home team. I don't think it means necessarily that much. I really don't. I consider this a toss up, even though Southern only has 1 loss this year to Northwest Lehigh. But I'm going to go with Southern also.
Yeah, since they played in week 2 and Southern Lehigh shut them out, Blue Mountain has averaged 38.5 points a game to this point. They, as Leroy said, I want to allude to a couple of Leroy points, but they have grown big time since the early start of season, and they are an impressive football team. The thing that scares me, though, is when you look at Blue Mountain's schedule, and again, what Leroy said is the two losses that stick out to me are Southern Lehigh and North Schuylkill. And what do Southern Lehigh and North Schuylkill have? They are big, and they have very good running backs. And those two teams not manhandled Blue Mountain, but they had their way with them a lot. And that scares me in this game. Playoff football, Southern Lehigh is going to rely on that run and wear Blue Mountain down. And in a very close game, Southern Lehigh is going to win.
My turn? Oh, boy. Well, I don't think there's anything left to say, Chaz, football-wise, right? I mean, these guys have covered it.
They have. I mean, one thing that I would add, Eli, is that, you know, they talked about Cohen Kirby's maturation through the year. Last week, I saw him dropping literal dimes. Probably the best thrown footballs I've seen all season long.
Okay. I'll take that into consideration here. But I left that game blank because I...
Well, you are Mr. Blue Mountain.
It's... man, that's a touchy subject. But, you know what? And if you follow my track record on this program, I don't pick Southern Lehigh often unless they're going to blow somebody out. If there's a chance somebody's going to beat them, I normally pick that other team. But I've got a lot of these games wrong. I don't know. I think this is an insurance pick, right? Give me Southern Lehigh. And you're welcome, Blue Mountain, if you win.
What have I been saying all year long?
In Kutz, I trust.
Bingo. And if there's one guy who can turn the temperature up in the postseason with his team, it is...
Coach Kutz.
And I believe that that was not a fluke in week 1.5, Jerry. I don't think it was. Bob, that limb you're on right now, how does that feel?
There's plenty of room for you.
Good, because I'm joining you. I'm coming out there with you, Bob, and I'm taking the Eagles because I've seen Chuck Kutz's body of work the first time he was injected into Blue Mountain. And I believe that mojo from the late 90s, early 2000s is back. Give me the Eagles. Eli, one of your favorite games is also occurring on a Thursday night. Maybe we'll start with Dell on this because this,
yeah, this is right up his alley
for him. Allentown Central Catholic going to take on Bethlehem Catholic Dell in the other 4A semi. Let's start with you.
Well, we're still doing some research and stuff and see if this is the Lehigh County All-Stars East versus the Lehigh County All-Stars West. I'm not sure. Saw Bethlehem Catholic last week against Pottsville. Pottsville played one of their better games of the year. It was a contest the whole way. Unfortunately, the Clues kid gets hurt. And it might have made a difference. I mean, Bethlehem Catholic has some really talented kids, no doubt about it. The running backs, a couple of receivers, their quarterback. So I haven't seen Allentown Central at all this year. Bethlehem did beat them when they had head-to-head matchup a couple of weeks ago. So, in a way, I wish they both would lose. I'm sorry, but we're going to go with Bethlehem Catholic.
Don't have Jerry Mystician numbers or anything like that on this game.
That's disappointing.
I know, because I really have no interest in whether or not Bethlehem Catholic or Allentown Central win. I'm kind of in the Del Houck boat there. I did talk to some people, though, from Pottsville and about their game with Bethlehem Catholic and what the first thing they said was they were surprised with how, I want to say, soft Bethlehem Catholic's line was. They're big, but they weren't aggressive and physical like your Schuylkill Havens and your North Schuylkills. Allentown Central, by what I've read, was really impressive in their first round win. So we'll step out on the limb this week and we'll take the Vikings, ACC.
Well, Jerry, you were mentioned with your numbers. Let's have them.
Well, I got a little bit of a Lehighton number for ACC here. A little bit of a ACC's last four games for you guys were loss, win. Maybe following a little bit of Lehighton there. First game they played was 28-24 Becca. So really, I don't have any interest in this game either. I'm just going to go with the old Lehighton thing here. I'm going to take Becca because ACC's due for a loss now.
Quality stats there, Jerry. Listen, I'm in the sediment here. I could care less about this game. I have more fun when I go to the city of Bethlehem than I do in the city of Allentown. So I'm going to take Bethlehem.
That's great logic, Jim.
That's all I'm going with.
I like the way this is shaking out. And I like what Lira had to say. I was also at that game with Dell and Matt, Pottsville versus Bethlehem Catholic. And I wasn't sold. The quarterback, I want to say his last name was like Versailles or something like that.
That is correct, yes.
Very talented athlete, and could break a game wide open on his own. But I did a little bit of research on this game.
Oh.
And yes. I'm just looking at scores and stats.
Who do you think you are, Jerry?
I'm not Jerry, but I think I saw the same thing Leroy saw. ACC has done some things lately. Give me Allentown Central Catholic.
Attaboy.
Yeah, I couldn't care less about this game either, so.
But you're on the clock, champ.
I know. I think to go against Leroy and Eli is probably not a good idea. I'm going to do it anyway. I'm taking Becca.
Wow.
I find that offensive that you said that, Bob.
You know, the interesting piece of this, Jerry, I'm going to use your logic.
Oh, boy.
However, I'm going to string it out past this year. Have any of you noticed every year when these two teams play, and they play every year, the team, because they meet in the playoffs then every year. This used to be like a Week 10 game, if I'm not mistaken.
It was a Week 10, and it was often Week 10, Week 11.
And then they'd come back and play each other again Week 11, and the team that won the regular season game never wins the playoff game, ever. So I'm going with Eli and Leroy on this and ACC because that happens every single year. I seem to think Bethlehem Catholic may have come in and played, I don't want to say down to the competition, but they didn't take it very seriously against Pottsville. And that's going to be very tough to get back into the mindset against ACC. So I'm taking the Vikings in this one. May not be the only Vikings I take this week, Eli, just so you're aware. Let's talk about North Schuylkill traveling to Northwestern Lehigh, Jimmy.
Pass. Jerry, I'd like to hear your stats, please.
They didn't really make any stats.
Yeah, I don't need stats. I'm just kidding. No. Listen, North Schuylkill, phenomenal season. And they easily can win this game. And I'm rooting for them to win this game. But until someone beats Northwestern Lehigh, I can't pick against them. They have won 27 in a row, I believe. Like, it's crazy. So until someone beats them, I'm going to take the Tigers. Go ahead, Jerry.
The last
Eli, you're up.
All right. Well, if you want a good bet here, the line on Chaz saying another team will end Northwestern Lehigh's undefeated streak is at -100 this week. Great prop bet for everybody on the show. I'll take Northwestern Lehigh to the same statements that Jimmy made a second ago.
Jerry, I put your pick in.
Thank you. The last three games have not been close for North Schuylkill and Northwestern Lehigh. Northwestern Lehigh dominated them, and like Jimmy said, we've been saying it the whole season. Till somebody beats them, can't pick against them.
You know, shout out to North Schuylkill. I think when you compare this game, you look back at the first meeting that ended 49-18, but North Schuylkill was winning 18-14 at the half. Can North Schuylkill do things offensively against Northwestern? Absolutely. Luke Miller and that offense, Landon Smith not being there is a big miss, big absence for North Schuylkill because he stretches the field. But North Schuylkill offensively, I think, can hang with Northwestern Lehigh. The problem is their defense cannot. As evidenced by, there was a couple penalties that helped, but Panther Valley moved the football against North Schuylkill, which I didn't think I'd be able to say. The secondary for North Schuylkill is not very good. And Northwestern has that balanced attack. They like to run it. They like to run the crisscrosses, and then they like to throw it. So I don't know the trivia question. I don't know the answer. But when was the last time North Schuylkill ever defeated Northwestern Lehigh? I think the answer is none. So let's go with Northwestern Lehigh.
Well, got to echo everything you guys said. And the first one is they haven't lost. They didn't lose last year. They haven't lost yet this year. They're a very good team, Northwest Lehigh. And North Schuylkill's done some good things. They're having a really nice year. But I just think Northwestern is, until they get beat, they're the champ.
Yeah, I'll just go along with what everybody said so far. And I saw Northwestern Lehigh a few weeks ago, and boy, are they impressive. They just do everything right in all facets of the game. They have exactly the game plan. They get the ball to who they want to, when they want to, where they want to, and they just do everything so, so well. Northwestern Lehigh.
The question is, what North Schuylkill team is going to show up? Because they have not shown up in big games, in big moments, against top quality opponents. Again, against Northwestern Lehigh this time, had an 18-14 lead, came out in the second half, fell flat. One of those big Tiger plays deflated at North Schuylkill. Landon Smith, they have a kid that's equally as fast in his stead, from my understanding and what I'm seeing on the offensive side of the ball. The defensive side of the ball, a little bit different. Mengel's going to play both sides of the ball. You know, is that a good idea? I don't know. Eli, I'm torn.
How torn?
I may stand on the -100. Vegas, Jerry, you think I'm crazy?
Vegas knows.
Jerry, do you think it's all about wins and losses on TD tips? Nope. I'm taking the Spartans just to be different.
Wow.
Now, another game that could be fireworks. Tamak was playing pretty good as of late, Bob. Touchdown Terrence, I got to meet him, and he kind of smiled. I was told by Coach Bonner, call him Terrible Terrence, and he said, no, I like Touchdown Terrence better. Very nice kid, well-mannered. But the Blue Raiders are going to Notre Dame of Green Pond this game at Lafayette tonight.
Well, yes, Tamak was doing some nice things of late. That's going to end this week, unfortunately, for the Blue Raiders. Notre Dame Green Pond ranked third in the state in Class 3A, undefeated, an all-star team just like your ACCs and your Beccas.
Except they get from three different states.
Yeah, their wrestling program's ridiculous that way, too. At any rate, Notre Dame Green Pond win this game.
Dell, I'm going to put it on a tee for you because I know you can't pick against the public versus private here.
Great point.
But let's also.
You
I'd be
need
remiss.
To get a couple back here, coach. This would be a great game.
I would be remiss not to add to Bob's sentiment. Yes, Notre Dame Green Pond is undefeated, but let's admit it. They had one tough game on the schedule. Otherwise, it was walkover.
Oh, you're absolutely right.
Are they as battle tested as the Blue Raiders of Tamaqua?
Well, no, but Tamaqua, it was a great win for them last week. Remember, last year, they won their first six games, then they lost their last four and didn't qualify for the district playoffs because I think they only took four teams that year.
You're correct.
Last year, they only took four.
House money for the Blue Raiders, though. House money.
Yes,
it is. Buzzsaw Award back in the land of running water.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. Unfortunately, they're playing a team that's just more talented. And it pains me to say this. The guy who was their head coach broke the place where I coached at.
Oh, he broke your heart, didn't he?
Both teams in the same year when he was a quarterback and a pitcher. He was a tremendous athlete. And we happened to come in second in the district championship games in baseball and football that year. But unfortunately, yes, I will pick Notre Dame.
Yeah, shout out to McDowell. Great sophomore season. Looking forward to seeing him the next 2 years. 1,577 yards, 18 touchdowns. The only thing that Tamaqua can do here is they cannot get into a shootout. They're going to lose that. They have to hold the ball, long drives, keep it on the ground, keep it away from Notre Dame, and prevent the big plays. It's the only chance they have. Matt Bodner leads the state in passing. 2,556 yards, 35 touchdowns. That's a lot. Granted, they haven't played a red division schedule like Tamaqua has, but they're pretty good, and they have lots of weapons, and I'm not sure if Tamaqua defensively is going to be able to handle that, so I'm going to take Notre Dame.
Yeah, I'd love to take Tamaqua to every one of the same reasons they'll list it for us earlier, and shout out to Tamaqua and Coach Bonner and his coaching staff and the squad for an awesome year. I mean, just like we talk about with some of these smaller schools that have done some surprising things, you know, not a whole lot of people had Tamaqua playing playoff football at this time of year, so shout out to them for that. But with that being said, I will be on the Green Pond.
Yeah, congratulations to Tamaqua, like these guys said. I didn't have them making the playoffs or actually win a playoff game. But the last three games for Green Pond, I mean, they've played nobody and scored 56. They may do that again this week. Green Pond in a big way.
Yeah, like we all talked about, Tamaqua, I don't think any of us had on our bingo card Tamaqua being on our ticket here in Week 12. So great season by the Blue Raiders to get to the last four teams. The question I have about this game, and Coach, I'm hoping you can answer it for me, because I've asked this question many a times and I have not gotten an answer yet. They are the Tamaqua Blue Raiders, but they have an eagle as a mascot. Can you explain that to me?
I cannot.
Nobody can.
I cannot.
I've been in Tamaqua and asked Tamaqua people, and they can't explain it.
I don't. That you're
it
correct.
Is the question. I
don't have
I've
an answer.
I've covered Tamaqua and I said, hey, why? Yes. And there's people in the school that can't explain it. Crazy. But Notre Dame Green Pond in a big way in this game, unfortunately for Tamaqua.
Yeah, I'm going to take Notre Dame Green Pond. It's that Lafayette. That's a place you really have to go to see. The sight lines are going to be incredibly difficult for the Blue Raiders to get adjusted to. Hash marks are college hash marks. They don't kick field goals, so the goalposts aren't going to matter for the Blue Raiders. They don't go for extra points. It's just not going to happen then. They may not see the end zone. Green Pond's defense this year may be the best they've had in the last few. Well, Dell, Troy Valley, they're coming to Hunts Holly up 81 to Lecco on a trail.
Yes, sir, up to that beautiful town of Factoryville.
How were your Hilton accommodations?
They were pretty good. They were pretty good. They were okay. They were okay. It's.
I had to fight to get you guys in the press box last week, and then the equipment wouldn't connect right.
You did a terrific job, because as Eli will tell you, he managed to enjoy the fresh air up there that 40 mile an hour. I take that back. Probably a constant 25 mile an hour wind with gusts of maybe 40. But he persevered because he's got young blood, and he could do that. Lackawanna Trail is a very efficient ball club. They run wing tee, variation of wing tee. They're a running team. I think they've only thrown the ball approximately 40 times in 11 games. They have a very good quarterback, very good running back. They run things very well. They fly to the ball defensively. Tri-Valley, it has had a good year, and they've been terrific defensively, having a shutout last week, which they needed to move on.
What a game by that defense.
And they're going to go up there, and they're going to play hard. There's no doubt about it. I just don't know if they can score enough. They do struggle scoring points. I think it'll be a dandy of a contest. I just, unfortunately, I'm going to pick Lackawanna Trail to win this.
You think they're going to let you back in Fountain after this?
Yes, they will.
Well, you're not leaving tonight, but you'll be trying to get out of there on Saturday. Get ready.
Okay.
They may have the snipers in a cornfield.
Bob, you're
beloved in the valley.
Yes, I am. I was there on Tuesday. No, I was.
The big head in first place.
It's mutual. I just love going to Higgins Valley.
Bob Lipsky with a great interview.
Listen, he likes to cover our softball team, and we all like him when he's around here. He knows the girls are doing the best they can.
Thank you. Thank you.
We're trying to do it.
Thank you, Coach Shade.
This is Coach Shade, and I coach the football team too, Yeah. I'm also on the sideline there on a Friday night.
Shout out to Bob. Fantastic interview with a couple of all-star volleyball players for Tri-Valley this week, covering them in the state playoffs.
He's loved.
T102 Sports right. Now, YouTube.
Yes, he is.
Making fun of him.
Yes, he is.
I'm serious.
Thank you. Thank you, my friends. I appreciate that. Appreciate that very much. I've seen Tri-Valley a couple of times against some good teams, against Minersville, against Williams Valley. They just don't move the ball against teams of that caliber. And that's probably what's going to happen again this week. So I love Tri-Valley's defense. I really think they've had a really good year, but Lackawanna Trail is on a different level. They'll win.
And they love you too, Bob. Gerald, let's hear the numbers.
Well, last year's game was not, I believe it was 42-0 in the playoffs last year. I don't think it's going to be that this year, but last year in that game, Lackawanna Trail ran 35 times for 244 yards. Tri-Valley ran 28 times for 81 yards. That has to be better for Tri-Valley. I've seen them a bunch of times, obviously last week. That defense is very good, but I just don't know, like these guys said, I just don't know if they can score enough. I know they have a weapon in their kicker.
You want to take Tri-Valley.
I do.
Then do it!
But
don't be scared. If you're scared, go to church.
I'm not. I just went back and forth on this, one of these games. This is one of the four.
You could possibly. If they win, Jerry, you dethrone Bob
and... You can't be the regular season champ.
And Dell.
God darn it, you could be the postseason champ, but you can do it.
I just don't think they're going to...
Cut me, Mick.
Get up. I can't say that part.
You're going to eat lightning and crap thunder.
I just don't think they're going to score enough. I'm going to take Lackawanna Trail.
Ooh.
Ooh, you are soft. Lackawanna Trail, 327 yards a game rushing. The crazy thing about this game is there are certain websites out there that have Tri-Valley ranked significantly higher than Lackawanna Trail. Mm-hmm. When I saw that, I was a little taken back. Tri-Valley, listen, defense travels, and their defense is awesome. The problem I see here is what Coach said about the offense. You don't know what you're going to get. When you play a running team like Lackawanna Trail, you're only going to get so many possessions a game because the clock's continually running. You may get 7-8 possessions total for this game at a Tri-Valley. Out of those 7-8 possessions, can they score 3 or 4 touchdowns? Because that's probably what they're going to need to win this game. And I haven't seen it all year that they have. So yeah, it's going to be a close game. The defense is going to play well, but in the end, I think Lackawanna Trail is going to have a little too much for them.
Yeah, I'm going to preference this with saying I'm taking Lackawanna Trail, but here's what I want to say before I switch it over here to you guys. I actually think this is going to be a fairly close game. I think Lack Trail is going to win, but after getting to see them, fun fact, can I throw the fun fact out there?
Fun fact!
Can I throw the fun fact out there?
Sure.
I've covered Lackawanna Trail more at home than since our new entity T102 Sports now, than I've covered Tri-Valley, Williams Valley, Shenandoah, Monoy, and Tamaqua combined at home.
You road warrior, you!
So...
That's because you like making the trip with Matt and Dell.
Absolutely. There's no one better to make the trip with. But getting to see them last year and getting to see them this year, I will tell you, Jer, you referenced that game last year. This is a different ball club than last year, and I think Dell could tell you parts of this. They had a young man last year. They have Isaac Rayon out there right now, who is a fantastic runner. I believe he scored 68 yards in the opening play of the game.
Yep.
Something along those lines for them offensively. Yep. But they lost a couple rushers. One of them by the young man, a young man by the name of Douglas, who was also another 1,000-yard back out there, and kind of added, as you referenced earlier, the thunder and lightning combination that they kind of had, because they don't throw the ball, as you guys mentioned, often very at all. They did throw the ball last week on Nativity here and there, but I don't think that's going to be the case this week. I'll tell you what, you know, I get it. If ifs and nuts and buts were candies and nuts, every day would be Christmas. But if Tri-Valley had Cooper Carl in this one back there at safety, and they completely eliminated that element of even thinking about throwing the ball, Tri-Valley would give Lackawanna Trail some fits. They do not have Cooper Carl in this game, but I think they could still make some things happen. I'm taking Lackawanna Trail, but I think this is going to be a close game, Jazz.
I echo what everybody else has said here. Shout out to, hey, Tri-Valley, District 11 champions back-to-back years. Well, we haven't mentioned that. Shout out to them. Congratulations. Lackawanna Trail has stepped down from last year's team and the year before that. They've had a good run up there. And District 2 teams overall have beaten those District 11 single-A teams when they meet. Lackawanna Trail will win this game. It won't be 56-0 or anything along those lines. But here's your bold prediction. Lack Trail loses next week.
Maybe we have to put them on the cards.
I must put them on the card.
I like that.
They'll probably, if they win, they'll probably play Lime Mountain.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Gerald, I too am going to go with Lackawanna Trail, but it's time to talk Jersey Shore and Shamokin, because I know this one intrigues you.
Yeah, I'll be going to the game with Dan, and Jimmy might be going with us.
I did not make that decision yet.
He didn't make the decision, but we might be going to, or Jimmy might join us to go watch
Dan
the game.
Dan is the second most famous Doyle brother.
Brother. Okay, I was going to say third most famous Doyle man.
He is the ugly duckling of the family.
This game is very intriguing also. That's why I'd like to go watch it. The last three games they have played this year was a double overtime win for Shamokin, 43-42. Last year was 30-28, and then in the playoff, 28-27. All Shamokin wins, three games by 4 points. Jersey Shore 3-2 away. They're averaging 43 a game. Shamokin 41. It's just going to be a good game. I'm looking forward to watching it, but I'm going to take Shamokin at home.
Yeah, this has become a little rivalry here between Shamokin and Jersey Shore. They have played some outstanding games over the years. Jersey Shore is a seasoned football team this time of the year. They have been through the ringer for the last few years. Little new to Shamokin. Shamokin was here last year. I don't love Shamokin here. I'm going to take Shamokin, but I don't know. I don't love it, but give me Shamokin.
Let me throw a curveball at everybody here, because right. I feel like the panel's just going to go straight wide Shamokin. But I'll tell you a couple things. I didn't like the outcome of that Mount Carmel game. Yes, they won, but they won in a very close game that they weren't winning for most of it. And then they celebrated as if, and I get it, it's a big rivalry. It's the biggest thing they probably play for, but man, did they celebrate. And I think you, as a coaching staff, and you know, I've never coached football, but I think as a coaching staff, you need to wrangle those boys in a little bit and remain at the task at hand, right? You know, you still got games to play. That's not your Super Bowl per se. I get it, it's a big
per
game
thing.
Per se.
Oh.
But you know, I'm gonna go out and take Jersey Shore in this one. I mean, a huge lopsided victory last week. I got a gut feeling on this one.
Not so fast, my friend. Shamokin, I think their body of work for their entire season speaks for itself, and them being at home will matter. Jersey Shore is good, but they're not as good as they've been in past seasons, and Shamokin just has athletes all over the place, and I'm going to go with the Indians.
Is there room in the boat?
With me?
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, so you saw this. You were doing the same research today that I was doing.
So last week in the District 4 semifinals, so let's rewind a little bit for those watching at home. Jersey Shore loses to Shamokin, what, three times in a row by by a point. Mm-hmm. You know, the kid was offsides, that kind of deal. They also lost this year to Hollidaysburg and Scranton Prep, two teams that are also very, very good. Since they lost to Scranton Prep, they've scored 63 and 73 in back-to-back games, including 73 on a 9-1 Athens team in the semifinals. Shamokin had Shikellamy, a team they had already beaten. They won 37-7. I just have a hunch here. I think Jersey Shore's string of close losses is flipped this time. I went Jersey Shore.
Yeah, you know, you're wondering now. They regular season, last year, Shamokin goes 10-0. Tough to do, no matter how good you are. This year, regular season, Shamokin goes 10-0. Tough to do, no matter how good you are. If I'm right, the Mount Carmel game, they're losing and have to recover an onside kick and have a long play, they end up winning a game at the end. Am I right? Is that kind of what happened?
Yep.
So they snatched victory out of the jaws of his feet, so to speak. How many close games are you going to be able to win where maybe one of those you don't win? Jersey Shore, you know, okay, I talked about, you know, the emotion of everything. You can't be emotional for 48 minutes because you get yourself too tired. The old adage was, I was taught many, many years ago in a high school, the first 6 minutes are emotion, and if it's close, the last 6 minutes are emotion. That stuff in between, you got to do your talented stuff and all that kind of deal. I don't know. I'm just going to go out on him. Someplace along the line, you're going to get beat. I'm going Jersey Shore.
I love that. I'm ready to run to a wall now after that.
You're a fool.
3-3, you're the tiebreaker.
It's a telling tale, the Mount Carmel game, but I will say it's no different than when you throw Williams Valley at each other, Pottsville and Blue Mountain at each other. Doesn't matter the records. It seems like you always bring your level best when you're playing a rivalry game, particularly that one that's like 177 years old. You know, is that a measuring stick for the Indians? I mean, there's been a lot of promise in Shamokin in the last 2 years. There's a lot of goals that were put on the board for this club. But at some point, the numbers are against you. No different with Jersey Shore. But I will say, to bring up Athens, the only thing in Athens are deer and trees. I mean, there ain't much there.
So what do you think they do? They play football.
Against really bad teams.
Yes.
Somebody has to.
Poor team.
Somebody has to.
Poor team. I'm taking Shamokin. I just think the right side of the sheet has something cooking.
That might be the first game we've picked all year where the three guys on the left side of the sheet took one team, and the four guys on the right side of the sheet took the other team.
Well, just remember, you're in the boat with last place Dell. Bob Montoursville's going to Mifflinburg.
Nobody
this
wants
one
to be there.
Near and dear to your heart. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm a big Mifflinburg fan now. My niece works there, and I don't know about this game. These teams, Mifflinburg's hasn't been good for a while, but now they're on the rise. Montoursville is good pretty much every year. I just think Mifflinburg, the home team, I'm going to go with them.
Yeah, the last time they played, this was a 35-7 game. I mean, I'm going to guess it's not going to be 35-7 this point. But to Bob's point, Mifflinburg hasn't been good for a while. There's some excitement in the town. You know, they love you up there too, Bob. I was talking, so they love you up there too. Big fans. And
they want you to take a buggy ride on buggy day up there.
I travel well.
But there's a lot of excitement, and I think they're playing with some great energy that they haven't been here in a long time. So I'm going to take the home team, Mifflinburg.
Yeah, like Jimmy said, 35-7 the first game. Mifflinburg's won 4 in a row. Montoursville, 3 in a row. Last week's triple overtime win against Mount Carmel, 43-42. Both teams played Southern close this year. Mifflinburg lost 21-14, Montoursville 26-16. The numbers are pretty similar offensively and defensively. I'm just going to go Mifflinburg at home.
Can you compete with that report?
Sure. Last four games, as Jerry said, all wins for Mifflinburg, outscored their opponents 218-17. That's an average of 54.5 points per game for Mifflinburg. And as Jimmy said, it was 35-7 in week 4. Now, that's a big, you know, we're week 12, 8 weeks ago. Montoursville riding some momentum with the win over Mount Carmel, but they really, really had to work hard to beat a Mount Carmel team that was 5-5. So I want Mifflinburg. I think they get it done. Mifflinburg beat Danville 56-14 last week.
Yeah, I'm right. Am I right in the Montoursville Mount Carmel game went 3 overtimes? That would be a heck of a game. How about Mount Carmel losing their last two games like they lost them? Mifflinburg, I saw, did beat them 35-7 in the early season. They're both, I think, 8-2. I'm going to go with Mifflinburg.
Yeah, no tricks on this one. I think Mike Messina is still associated with the school in some form, maybe the baseball team. I don't know.
You know what I mean?
Cover your ears, Jim.
Who cares?
Well, I don't like the Yankees, so give me Mifflinburg.
It's great logic. It'll be a clean sweep for the buggy capital of the United States, as everyone likes Mifflinburg. Leroy, Troy is traveling to Warrior Run.
Warrior Run's 10-1. I don't think we've mentioned that or noticed that at all during the course of the year. And somehow they're seated higher than Troy.
Why would we?
Who's ranked second in the state. Unlike some of these other games, this is not a rematch. These teams did not play during the regular season. Troy's only loss was a 1-point loss to Waverly, New York in week 2. Warrior Run lost to Bloomsburg in week 4. Warrior Run hasn't played anybody. Neither has Troy for the most part. I don't think the football in the Northern Tier is any good this year. Troy has a balanced attack. I think they have a little bit better offense. I mean, Warrior Run's signature win was over Class A Montgomery, and it was 24-7. So I'm going to take Troy. I was surprised when you put this game on the card to find out that Warrior Run was actually 10-1. So they'll be 10-2 after this week.
Can you top that, Gerald?
Not really. Leroy's the king of the stats.
That is correct.
That is. But Warrior Run, or Troy's averaging 48 a game. Warrior Run 38. Defensively 13. Almost 14 for Troy a game and maybe 16 for Warrior Run. I'm just going to take Troy on the road.
Turbotville Diner. If you're coming home from this game, great place to stop to get a meal. Turbotville Diner. That's the only thing good about Warrior Run in this game, because Troy is going to win this game. Warrior Run has not played anybody. Great season for the Warrior Run. I'm guessing Warriors.
Defenders.
Mm-hmm. Of the Warriors. Of Warrior Run. That makes sense. Yeah, I'm going to take Troy Trojans in this game.
Well, Mr. Defender?
Yeah, they're not going to defend very much on this one. Troy's going to win big.
Yeah, I was with Leroy when he said he was surprised to see that Warrior Run is 10-1. I thought maybe there was a chance, like, I don't know, the new momentum shift in the school or something. Or then you take one look at their schedule and you find out quickly why they're 10-1. Troy.
Yeah, I agree. And I think Troy won the district championship last year in AA up there. I know Southern didn't, which is probably the first time in a long, long time. And they had a real good year. I'm going to go with Troy winning this one and playing Southern Columbia next week.
You know, I'm going to take Troy, but not for any of the reasons that you all pick. I'm going to take Troy because that was the lead character in Eli's favorite movie with the Wildcats.
I wasn't sure we were allowed to talk about those movies on this program.
Well, Eli just can't help himself. He was a big Vanessa Hudgens fan. So
you haven't said anything wrong yet.
Yeah. That's why.
She's still hot.
So that's why we're going that direction.
Wait, what movie are we talking about?
I can't think of it. Is that High School Musical?
Bingo.
He knows it.
He's a closet High School Musical.
I really thought you were going somewhere else with that when you said his favorite movie.
I got that beat. Really. Well.
And a guy named Troy stars in it? That had me right there. Like, there is no doubt.
Let's turn our attention to Exeter Township at Conestoga Valley. Eli, allow you to circle the wagon, so to speak. See what I did there, Leroy?
Buckskins, glad I like it.
This is one of two games I still have open on my card left here. I have no idea.
Well, then I'm glad I went to you first.
I feel like I'm just looking at these two. Okay, here, you guys picked some games off some funky feelings earlier. I'm just looking at the two names, Conestoga Valley.
Leroy, you want to enlighten them?
Yeah, let's look at the numbers here. So Exeter Township has been very successful in the state playoffs in the last couple of years.
Oh, yikes.
District 3 playoffs, and those levels. Exeter 9-2. This is a rematch of a week 9 game that Conestoga Valley won 21-17. That game was at Exeter. This game is at Conestoga Valley. Conestoga Valley had the bye last week. I love how these District 3 teams all get byes in week 11. Like, amazing. Averaging 38.4 a game, only giving up 9.8. Both the numbers stat-wise are almost identical between the clubs. CV has a quarterback by name of Sawyer Espenshade, 2,159 yards, 30 touchdowns, only 3 picks. They also have a guy who's rushed for almost 1,000 yards. In his career, Espenshade's thrown for 4,237 yards and 54 touchdowns. Most of that has been in 2 years. He barely played as a sophomore.
Jerry, you're a piker.
Yeah, I didn't have nothing like that.
Exeter lost to, their other loss was to 6A Hempfield, who's number 6 in the 6A playoffs in District 3. This game is probably the District 3 game of the night. Both these teams are very good. Espenshade threw for 3 touchdowns, including the game winner in the first meeting. I'm going to take Conestoga Valley. Little known fact, Jim Cantafio was the coach at Conestoga Valley back in the 90s. His career started as an assistant at Schuylkill Haven. So
didn't he coach?
We'll go with Conestoga Valley, the Buckskins.
You are correct. Mr. Cantafio was coaching here when I started coaching at Minersville. We are around the same age, give or take a year or two. Yes, sir. And he went to Conestoga Valley, among other places, and was successful there. And at one time, Exeter Township's coach was Joe Opelenik Jr., if I can remember from back probably in the late 90s, early 2000s, which doesn't have to do with this. Conestoga Valley's undefeated. So, and listening to those numbers, I'm sure Vegas would have them as the favorite. I'll go Conestoga Valley.
Jerry, I have to let Crystal Ball's work make its way to the airwaves.
I have nothing else. You already had everything I had, so I'm just taking Conestoga Valley at home.
Uh-oh. I love this. So you mentioned the first time they played. Eli, what if I told you that in the first game, a running back ran for 33 carries, 332 yards?
I'd say they won the game.
They lost the game. Lamar, I'm guessing it's Lamar. His name is spelled L-E-O-M-A-R. I'm guessing that's Lamar Brown.
Yeah.
The Exeter running back, 33 carries, 332 yards in a very close game. The Exeter quarterback name is Riley Martinez. You know what he did that game?
Go ahead.
He did nothing because he was hurt. Very good dual threat quarterback. Exeter's coming in this game with a chip on their shoulder. They actually were the better team the first night. They had 2 crazy plays that happened. They fumbled in their own territory, and they're coming in with a chip. Exeter Township's going to win this football game. I'm taking Exeter.
We've heard it all, Bob.
Yes, we have. Now I'm really thinking over my pick again.
No, don't think it over. Take Conestoga. Take Conestoga, Bob.
Yeah, it's Holland Valley written down.
Yeah, take them. Don't listen to me.
This set up for you.
Don't listen to me.
All right, I'm going to take Conestoga Valley.
Great pick, Bob.
And I know that's probably a loser pick, but that's what I'm going.
Oh, it can't be a loser. 6 years took them.
I don't know. Jimmy, were you working the pulse in Schuylkill Haven, or was it Leroy? Because that, my friend, was one of the most inspiring political speeches on the night.
No one works a poll like Leroy.
You know,
off the rails, this is gone.
Well, I think his name is Chunky Love. But anyway,
for a dollar?
Listen, I think Exeter Township has proven themselves in these spots for the last several years. I mean, they have a great run of kids coming out and making major impacts at major universities across the country. Conestoga Valley, Eli, you can try your best, but I'm swinging with Jimmy on this.
This was a no-doubter for me. I think it's the toughest game, but when I did my research, this was a no doubt.
You two sound like you'd be swinging. What are you picking?
Exeter Township. So, Dell,
yes,
Dunmore's going to Lakeland. Now, everybody had their sights on Dunmore and Riverside last week, thinking Dunmore was going to get beat, and it didn't happen. So what's your take on this one?
The Dunmore Bucks against the Lakeland Chiefs.
Yes, sir.
Lakeland has the better record.
Okay.
Dunmore, I think, is coming. They lost to Lackawanna Trail at the beginning of the year.
They also lost to Lakeland.
Huh?
They also lost to Lakeland.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Both historic District 2 programs, Dunmore and Lakeland, over the years. Lakeland was always a bigger school, AAA and that sort of thing for years, and maybe the numbers have gone down a little bit, so now they're AA. I am right, they're AA, right? Yeah. Thoughts. Okay. This is a dandy, and it's up at Lakeland. I'm going to go with the Chiefs.
Lakeland's one of those schools that's like in the middle of nowhere somehow, but it's like right near Scranton. Been there a couple times when, as a young kid, when Schuylkill Haven played them in the Eastern Conference Championship game. They did win the first meeting, 28-14. Since then, Dunmore has won five straight, including the upset win over Riverside. Lakeland's losses were to Wyoming. Loss was to Wyoming area. Dunmore lost to Riverside in their first meeting, and Lackawanna Trail, and then Lakeland. They have 2 kids. They have a dual threat quarterback, Weston Yanoni, I would guess is his name. He's rushed for 724 and passed for 505. He had touchdown runs of 72 yards and 1 yard in that game against Riverside. The other running back is Ryan Mecca. He had a 60 yard touchdown run against Riverside. Lakeland has the best player in this game, which is why I'm taking Lakeland. David Nansevich, probably. It's probably a Polish name. with a bunch of letters and then WICZ at the end. He's rushed for 846 yards and he's thrown for 1528. So I'm going to take Lakeland at home with the best player in the game.
Jerry, I can't make a pick without hearing your numbers.
Well, to what Leroy said, since that Dunmore loss to Lakeland, they're 5 in a row. They're averaging 37 a game, but Lakeland won 7 in a row also. 34 a game for Dunmore, 32 for Lakeland. Defensively, 13 and 18. Dunmore, 13. Lakeland, 18. I'm going to take Lakeland at home.
Did you say 32 a game? 32?
For Lakeland.
Chapman Lake is one of those places I have not been to, but I would like to. It looks like a great setting for high school football. I've never been there. The Nana Savage kid's a great player. Lakeland also is and I don't know his name, but he's a humongous running back. The kid's just a house. But 32 a game got me. OJ Simpson, 32. I am going to go with Lakeland. Thank you, Jerry, for that stat.
The juice is loose.
Well, you're up, Juice.
I'm with him. I like the way this is shaping up. Give me Lakeland.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the panel here. This is a District 2 old-time football rivalry game. And remember watching these games on TV when I was a kid. They used to broadcast on Saturday afternoons. And I didn't really know too much about the teams at the time. I was just a kid. But I'm going to go with Lakeland.
Yeah, it's a clean sweep. Not much to say. The reason it's on the card, everybody's kind of wondering why the card was so scattered, because it's a AA and we're going into the District 11 AA's.
You don't explain yourself why what's on the card. You master the card. Yeah. You don't need to explain yourself.
Thank you, Jimmy. I'll tell you what, I am feeling more and more comfortable every week. Thank God it's the last. Anyway, Northern Lehigh is coming into Schuylkill Haven, and will the Bulldogs be the next in line to kiss the train? This, a WPPA special on a Saturday night with Ed Benishunas, Del Houck, and John Kirby calling all the action from Rotary Field tomorrow. Eli, we're going to start with the man from Schuylkill Haven, the Schuylkill Haven Wunderkind, not the man that jogs, but the man that bleeds blue and gold, Leroy Boyer.
Wow. Laying it on.
Give him liberty or give him death.
Liberty's at the other end of town from the football stadium. Boy, Haven looked really good on Saturday against Catasauqua, 62-14. Scored twice on their first four plays. Colton Reber's having a hell of a year. 2,268 yards, 31 touchdowns, 40 total touchdowns. Max Heim goes over 1,000 yards, first quarterback to do that in 20 years. Northern Lehigh is a similar team in that they like the power running game. They like to run the ball down your throat. Chris Frame not being in this game is a big impact for Northern Lehigh. He's out for the rest of the season. He's like their go-to guy in key situations, especially defensively, anchors or secondary. I was impressed by Haven's ability to actually throw the ball. I don't say that ever. But Blake Rossi made some nice plays against Catasauqua. Catasauqua was a little undermanned. I think Schuylkill Haven wins this game. It'll be relatively close, but a 2-touchdown margin.
Jimmy, how's town with that kind of commentary?
Well, that kind of commentary is wow. Yeah, town is great, though. It's buzzing. Teresa, she was stoked. Can't wait to get to the game. She said she's going to be there Friday, probably 3:00, ready to go when she's done feeding the ducks at Stoyer's. But I had the Eastern Regional Blue-White meeting down in Allentown over the weekend. Somber meeting. But I was talking to a couple Allentown guys, a couple Northern Lehigh fans, and they told me, they made a joke that you better get Northern Lehigh this year because you're not going to get them next year. That's what they said. I laughed because they're not beating them next year either. This game will not be close. Northern Lehigh, they are similar to Schuylkill Haven. The difference is Northern Lehigh is the Temu version of Schuylkill Haven. That's what it is.
Gotcha.
That's exactly what it is. Schuylkill Haven is going to win this game by 4 touchdowns.
Well, before I get to Eli, I'd like to roll tape back a week ago. He said if Northern Lehigh wins, he's going to pick them the rest of the year. Isn't that what he said?
Oh, wait.
No. I said the opposite. I said if they lose, I'll never pick them again. Even if they're playing Shenandoah, Mono,
If they win, you have to pick them every week. Isn't that what he said?
No, that's not what I said.
So if they lose this week, you're never picking them again?
No, not this week, because they're going to lose. No, I'm glad you said it first. I'm glad you went on that tangent first. Yeah. Like I said, these Allentown fans, all I heard about before the season is that they're in the same, they should be talked about in the same light as Williams Valley and Schuylkill Haven. I think Minersville had beat them by a couple of scores, just the way they could throw the ball around. But I agree with Jim. I don't think this is going to be close. Get ready to kiss the tracks. Kane culture all the way. Give me Haven.
Yeah, no chance. Keep the buses running when they get there.
Yeah, ditto. the Hurricanes are just rolling. They'll win.
Oh, absolutely. This is a no-chancer. It's just and Norton Lehigh's a good program. Their coach is a good man. They've done well, but not this year.
You're correct. It's a clean sweep for the Hurricanes, as Jimmy likes to say. Jerry, T-102 tomorrow night. Minersville is traveling to Williams Valley. This was a dust-up in the regular season. Should we expect the same?
Well, I don't have this game marked on my card either. The last two games, we know how they went. 43-40, 42-36 last year. Talking about Minersville's defense all year, we know what they have offensively. We know what Williams Valley has offensively. I just think it's going to be another really, really good football game. But I just think Williams Valley is going to have too much. I'm going to take them at home.
Well, I think you know where this is going to be going. I'm going to take, in the regular season, I took Williams Valley in this game.
You did?
And I won. There wasn't a lot of people happy at school about that, including some people above me, some football coaches above me. So I'm going with the Miners, probably on the upset here. I'll tell you what.
Protect the check.
You know
protect
what?
Here's the check.
Here's the thing, Chaz. Here's the thing, brother. And I know you'll get this. Ready, brother? Here's the thing. This, I can't see if they do win. I can't have this as a stain on my. I can't be stained. I, like I said, higher ups. Right. I couldn't be insubordinate.
You have the perfect match.
There's not a chance I could be insubordinate. I have to go with my Battle of Miners in this one.
Well, from the paycheck to the alumni.
Well, I don't get paid by them, so that won't affect my.
But they love you there.
They do.
Not after this pick.
I got a chance to watch Miners up close and personal last week. Their defense was okay. It took a step back a little bit, I thought. Penn Ardrill really moved the ball very effectively. Only the turnovers enabled Miners to be playing this week. 4 turnovers on defense. You know, great job by the Miners to do that. But they gave up a lot of yards and a lot of points. I just think Williams Valley is going to find a way to get it done at home.
You know, Williams Valley has spent the last couple weeks doing some different things in each game offensively. Getting their receivers involved one game, running the ball another game, kind of getting the tweaks in that offense kind of ironed out a little bit. And they were on fire last week, you know, in their quarterfinal win, racked up 42 points at halftime and just kind of coasted from there. Minersville, you know, shout out to Dante Carr for maybe the national play of the year. Great video by Robbie McGrath.
Illegal.
And we voiced over Maddie's call on that. That's a great thing you can see on the T102 Sports Now Facebook page. I just think this game is going to be a great game, just like the last couple. We'll come down to a key turnover or a key big play, maybe a Dante Carr run similar to what that one was against Penn Ardrill. Williams Valley, I'm going to take Williams Valley. I think they just have too much depth, especially in the other areas defensively and up front.
Yeah, you're right. I think overall Williams Valley has a little more. Going to come down to very important turnovers and those horrible procedure penalties that kills drives. What an entertaining game last week. I had the pleasure of Holy New Minersville. I mean, that was something, and he pulled Barkley did it last year for the Eagles, didn't he, when he hurdled somebody in one of the games. That was really neat to see a high school kid do that. And yes, it was legal because the kid had his knee on the ground.
He was diving.
You know, so you can hurdle somebody, unless in high school, you cannot hurdle somebody that is not touching the ground with other than their 2 feet. Am I right there, mystician men? Okay. Irregardless, it was a heck of a play. And it was a very entertaining game. And Penn Ardrill did some great things. But the old heart in the way of the head, I'm going to go with those Miners to have an upset.
Del, you don't have to protect the check. Yours has been protected for years.
You are correct.
You know what I mean? But my question is for you, before I get to talking about this, is... There you have it. The shirt's on. Thank God. Don't take it off. Anyway, what was it like calling a game in the shadow of Del Houck Field?
It
was in the billboard if you caught it.
Yeah, I know. I don't know why.
Reynolds said
one
that?
Nothing to do with it. I tell you, it was an honor to be in the Ken Brennan press box. For those who Ken, he was the PA announcer when I started teaching and coaching, and he was the PA announcer there for, I don't know, 30, 40 years or something like that. He was quite a good man.
Is the same as when you started coaching there? The chairs are a little different, but they weren't up until 2 years
that
ago.
That press box, and I'm digressing here, that press box was built for the 1984 season. season. That's there. They renovated, changed it, and the reason I remember that, it was the year that we won the Eastern Conference title in 1984. So that's how long that has been there. And yeah, the chairs are probably similar to that in age-wise. Anyway, we'll go with the miners.
Came from Reliable, but they were beautiful. They're comfortable.
Yes, they
but
are.
But what I can tell you, had the opportunity to take in the Vikings in executive ed, a game that Leroy said was going to be a blowout, I didn't think it was going to be that way. But what I will say is during the game, there's a different mystique right now around this Williams Valley team. The sideline was very businesslike. There wasn't a whole lot of conversating. There was very much focus. Kids were being set up as to when they were going in and out of the games at what point during drives. It was weird to see, but a lot of high school sidelines that I've seen this year haven't been like that. I think Williams Valley is on a mission, and I think the kids feel they have more to prove now more than ever. And I think the Vikings, this one may not play out the way the rest of them did. I mean, I also know Miners will have some question marks as far as the lineup goes. Still haven't gotten the starters until we figure out the injury report. There's a lot swirling right now around this game, but we'll see how this shakes out. The paychecks are protected. Eli and Dell take the Miners. Everybody else going with the Vikings. And it's time for a timeout. Why, Eli? Because we have to get to the bits.
I can't wait.
Bob's Nittany Bits are coming up as we focus on Saturday and Sunday, and Jimmy's going to make a pick on a game that happens on a Wednesday. It'll get kicked off after we hit stop on the record here on the final week of Touchdown Tips.
WPPA Pottsville and translator W290DP Pottsville.
A well-functioning septic system is really important for you and your family's health and safety. Barrow's Septic and Drain Clinic are pros in the business for over 30 years, providing 24-hour emergency service in Schuylkill and surrounding counties, residential, commercial, industrial. Barrow's Septic and Drain Clinic can handle it. Blocked sewer lines, system maintenance. Barrow's is on the job. Learn more about all their services at barrowsseptic.com or call 866-889-3738 for full-service peace of mind when it comes to a healthy septic system.
When the temperature drops, turn up the comfort with DeWald & Langle on Long Run Road in Friedensburg. They've got the trusted names you know and love, like Harman pellet stoves for reliable, efficient heat, or the sleek innovation of Heat & Glow fireplaces, bringing modern style and convenience to your home. And if you love classic craftsmanship, nothing beats the timeless beauty of Vermont casting stoves and fireplaces. When it's a Harman, a Heat & Glow, or a Vermont castings, DeWald & Langle has the perfect fit for your family's comfort. Stop by today, warm up to incredible quality, and see why DeWald & Langle has been keeping homes cozy for generations. DeWald & Langle, Harman, Heat & Glow, Vermont Castings. All the warmth you need, 1 mile west of the 183-443 intersection, Friedensburg.
Okay, we love the change of seasons, but the beauty of fall leads to the gnarly cold and snow. Be prepared. That's where Alpine Building Supply comes in. You see, without a plan of what you need to button up the house for the winter, it could cost you. The experts at Alpine Building Supply, Route 183, Schuylkill Haven, can help. They stock everything you need so you can sit and watch the seasons change. Ah, Alpine Building Supply, Route 183, Schuylkill Haven. Check out their Facebook page, shop local and save.
Out of our final timeout on the final Touchdown Tips of the season. Don't forget, coming up tonight, T-102 only, North Schuylkill, Northwestern Lehigh, 7:10 kickoff there. Tomorrow night here on WPPA, Northern Lehigh at Schuylkill Haven. That one will get kicked off at 6. And on T-102 tomorrow night, Minersville at Williams Valley, also a 6 o'clock kickoff. But it's time to talk about what's coming tomorrow morning on WPPA. 10:30 for the tailgate show. High noon kickoff in Happy Valley. Penn State, another ranked opponent coming into whatever the name of the field is at Beaver Stadium. And it's time for the Nittany Bits. Bob, it's all yours.
Well, we've been through 12 weeks of this so far, and it's not getting any better. This Penn State team reminds me of a shampoo commercial. You know the one, lather, rinse, repeat?
Yes.
This Penn State team. Fail on Saturday. Make excuses during the week. Repeat. But the excuses part, that's the one that really irritates me the most, I think. It's not just excuses. It's delusional comments like the defensive line played quote unquote stout against Ohio State. Really? Really? The quarterbacks were solid, quote unquote, against Iowa. Really? My gosh. This team, this program is in a shambles. I can't even watch them anymore. I didn't watch the Ohio State game. I took a peek a little bit in the first half. Went and enjoyed my life. I can't take 3.5 hours of this team anymore. I used to tape the games, watch them again, just break them down. No, not anymore. No, they don't deserve it. They just have complete. This is college football season. Penn State has made this college football season dead to me. I'm not enjoying it. I'm just completely and utterly disgusted by everything from top to bottom. James Franklin was part of the problem. He wasn't the entire problem. There's more. There's plenty more up there at Penn State. How does a team with all of these talented NFL prospect players regress like that? What happened?
They all drank the Kool-Aid, Bob.
I don't know what they drank, but it certainly hasn't helped them. I mean, this week now they get Indiana. You know, Coach Cignetti has the Hoosiers flying. They're what Penn State hopes to be, a national championship contender. And they're going to just destroy Penn State. It's going to be home at Penn State. The Lions, I don't know, they can stay in it for a while, like they stayed in it for a while against Ohio State. I don't even think that's going to happen. I think team, you know, we're having kids leave the program now. They're entering the portal. The coaches are looking for their next job. This thing has just come apart at the seams. I can't wait for this season to be over.
So do you think they should have kept James Franklin around until the end of the year?
No, and that's the problem, because he had to go too. And now it's just, I don't know, it's just, the whole season boiled down to two things. One, they couldn't get it done again against Oregon. If they beat Oregon, they make a play and win that game, the whole season's changed. Then, they had UCLA the next week. Instead of getting angry and focused and just completely destroy the Bruins, they go out there and they just don't show up. Horrible. Unacceptable. And from there, it was all downhill from there. I mean, just, I can't take this level of ineptitude. It's just not Penn State football. I don't know how it gets fixed, when it gets fixed, by whom it's going to get fixed, but it's got to get fixed. This is unacceptable.
So you're taking Indiana?
Yes.
I was just going to say, Bob, who are you picking?
Yes, Indiana will win and win big.
Well, let's talk to the other chest thumper when they were ranked number two, Leroy.
Line's only 14.5.
Opened at 13.5.
14.5. I would have thought it would be more.
I agree.
Suckers.
What's really funny is I think historically, and I don't know the numbers off the top of my head, Penn State has this ridiculous advantage over Indiana in football, like 23-2 or something like that all time. It's not going to matter on Saturday. Indiana is everything, as Bob said, that Penn State should have been this year. Aggressive defense. I like their defense. A head coach who's not afraid to take risks. A head coach who is the face of the program, and he'll tell you, hey, I win games. Google it, right? I like Indiana.
You were at the Blue and White Monthly, you said.
Yeah, very somber meeting. A lot of unknown. Who's going to be the coach? And at this point, who's going to be the players next year? There's a lot of unknowns for Penn State. Listen, I really don't know how good Indiana is. The other two in the country, yeah, they wanted Oregon. Is Oregon that good? They're good. But You know, you got Heisman Doza coming in. He'll probably get invited to New York. He's not going to win the Heisman. I'm not sold on Indiana. That being said, they have enough that they're going to win this football game. But I agree with Leroy. This line's a little stinky right now. So watch out.
Speaking of stinky, should we go to Jerry?
Great segue.
That was because my pick stink in college. I thought maybe Penn State could beat Iowa. I was wrong on that one, so I'm not picking them again. Give me Indiana.
Yeah, a couple notes here, Chaz. I went through ahead of time and put Indiana across the board for everybody just to save a couple minutes here. We should all just do that next time. But, you know, Bob, I'm really upset. I want to just apologize to you that you're not enjoying college football season, because it's pretty fun. I mean, I've been on a little bit on the outside looking into college football this year, but it's been a pretty fun season. I mean, there's a lot of teams beating a lot of teams. A lot of those matchups.
Happens every week.
Right. Right. It's good stuff right now. It's good stuff. So, you know, I wanted to apologize on behalf of college football to you, Bob.
Well, maybe I'll start watching again a little bit, but it's been hard.
With that being said, Coach Cignetti, smoke him to the filters. Who Hoosiers?
You need to have your own show.
He tried every Friday night. Taking over goal line.
Oh, my. Jeepers, maybe I should go out on a limb and shock the world with this.
Yes!
I already wrote Indiana and free coach.
Good, because that's what I have to
if
pick.
If you didn't write that man, he might have took him.
I picked Penn State to beat Iowa, too, a couple weeks ago, and they had the chance to and didn't. So we'll go with those Indiana Hoosiers.
You know, I got a couple of things to say on behalf of the Penn State Nittany Lions.
Go ahead.
One, I tortured myself and watched the first half of that game last week, Bob, and watching Penn State play was not as painful as watching Gus Johnson, seeing Gus Johnson, or listening to him swallow chestnuts whole. Okay, that's one thing, all right? College football is ruined for everybody. It's just the big proponents of college football still have not seen the light. The nil, the money going around these players, all of it. The transfer portal, the whole thing is over. College football, as anybody remembers it, is over. It's ruined. The game is ruined. It was made perfectly for the odds makers. Sorry, Jim. But it was. It was put together. This whole sequence of event is when the FanDuels and BetMGMs of the world dug in deep on college football, and now they're getting what they asked for. Okay, there is the parity is the money, and who's going to pay more of it? Okay, if you're not the Steinbrenners of the NCAA, you're not making 27 world championships. Sorry again, Jim, but it's the truth. No, it's bought true. And paid for pretty much all but one.
Got to win in the field stuff.
Well, I'm just saying, when you have the money, you can put the pieces together, and that's all that's happening. You listen to the first offensive series by Ohio State. Oh, look at that! There's a blah blah blah. He's a Purdue transfer. Blah blah blah. He's a transfer from West Virginia. Blah, blah, blah. He's a transfer from Morehead State. I mean, it's ridiculous. Ridiculous. The game is ruined. And guys like Dabo Swinney, who's probably going to end up fired here shortly, he was begging for it last week, who won't buy into those concepts, are now old. Those that aren't good enough salesmen are now antiquated. It chased Nick Saban from the game he loved, chased him. He knew it. He saw it coming. Indiana wins because they've outspent Penn State. That's it. You can name the field. You can get the naming rights, this and that. But it's not enough money to pay the players and get things done. They can keep on running up hills and car commercials. They can keep showing up and, you know, talking about their new truck that they just got. And they're happy as a lark, and they don't give a damn win or lose because they're already paid. Let's talk Sunday Night Football. It's here on WPPA. The Steel Curtain traveling to L.A. to face the Chargers. Jerry, we know you have some numbers on this one.
Actually, I do not. The only thing I'm concerned myself with is that the Chargers win and Justin Herbert throws about 4 or 5 touchdowns for my fantasy team. That's what I'm hoping for.
It's all about fantasy football.
It is in this game right here. It is. That's all I'm concerned about. Old Aaron Rodgers, I hope he has a terrible game and the Chargers throw a lot of touchdown passes. Chargers.
But you have Pittsburgh highlighted.
No, I don't.
Oh, okay. Just checking.
I'll pass. Speaking of Morehead State, I'll pass to Eli.
Shout out to Morehead State. Great quality football program. Man, this game's tough. Pittsburgh coming off probably their signature win, what will be at the end of the season, beating the Colts, who are a pretty darn good football club. I don't know. I feel like the world's going to be on Pittsburgh this week, but I'll take the Chargers.
Well, one thing that happened to the Chargers is they lost their best offensive lineman.
They lost two of them now.
Yeah.
Rashawn Slater and Joel both out.
Yeah, exactly. That's my point. Who's going to block TJ Watt this week? The answer is probably nobody. Yeah, throw it.
Real quick, Bob. Throw him out. I don't care.
Yeah, I mean, this is tough for me because I really don't want to pick for Aaron Rodgers, but I just don't think the Chargers can block anybody. I'm going to go with the Steelers.
All right, Jimmy, you're back on the clock.
You know who he's picking.
I'm torn on this game, but I actually agree with Bob. You know, with both tackles out, maybe Pittsburgh found something in that win over Indianapolis last week.
You're getting soft in your old age.
I've been going back and forth all day in this game.
A couple years ago, you'd never pick Aaron Rodgers to win anything.
Chargers 1-7 against the spread.
I'm telling you, a couple years ago, Jimmy Mystician would have never picked Aaron Rodgers to win anything.
I mean, you're not wrong. A couple years ago, I did a lot of other things I didn't do it. But anyways, I'm going to take the Steelers. I don't love it at all, but I'm going to take the Steelers.
Del, you're the king of Sunday.
I don't know about that. I don't think so. But Rodgers is having a better year than what most people thought. When you watch him play, I mean, he's back to doing what he generally does, is get rid of the ball really quickly. And he's got a couple of receivers now that understand him and understand all that, the stuff that goes with it, I guess, in the practices and the meetings room and all that kind of stuff. And that's what makes him, because the man doesn't, you can't fool the man because he's been playing forever. So there's nothing that can be on the field that's going to make him wonder what's going on. He's not going to be confused. It's out in Hollywood, the land of Tinseltown.
Fruits and nuts, though.
Fruits and nuts. Herbert's a really good quarterback. I don't know. I don't like either one. I'm going to take the Chargers.
If there's a weakness to Pittsburgh's defense, it's their secondary. They tried to piece it together. They've given up some big games back there. And Justin Herbert has had a great year. Ladd McConkey was out for a couple games. He's back in the lineup now. I'm going to take the Chargers at home.
I thought I was on Pittsburgh 2 weeks ago, and boy, did they let me down. You know, I thought it would be a Steelers-Green Bay Packers Super Bowl.
Here we go.
I did. But I don't think they're as big a disappointment right now as the Buffalo Bills. So,
oh, no.
Jazzy, did you watch the NFL on Sunday?
No. I was busy trimming trees, Jim. Sometimes I have to get work done around the house when you have places to go and people to talk about. Right, Bob?
That's the facts.
The Bills did look pretty good this week, I will say.
So who's your pick?
Not the Bills.
Do I go with the front runners? Because I really could care less.
Come on, the jig is up.
I'm going with the Steelers. We'll see. I don't know. I'm just going there because you did, Bob, because you're my idol this year.
Yeah. First place, Bob.
That's it.
Good pick.
So, Eli, the Eagles are on Monday Night Football, speaking of Green Bay, so there's your...
Dun, 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 dun.
There's your matchup. We'll have it here on WPPA.
Can the Philadelphia Eagles come a long way? We hear a lot from Mike Quick every day on this radio station with the Jefferson Health Plan.
So what do you think about this game as Philadelphia is traveling to Lambeau Field?
Well, of course, Lambeau is a tough place to play. Just one of the most old school venues. Just like Buffalo, you drive up, it's right in people's front yards, backyards.
It is a lovely new stadium they're building in Buffalo. Saw the view from the roof.
Don't try and be nice now.
Anyway, you know, little rivalry in house this week. Our me and Leroy's Eagles, Dell's Green Bay Packers, Matt's Green Bay Packers. You know, it's going to be a fun matchup. It's certainly going to be a fun matchup. These teams played last year, I want to say, to start the season in Brazil. Yeah. The Eagles came out. It was a close matchup. The Eagles came out of that one on top. Of course, Jordan Love went down in that one. I think this one's going to be a close matchup again. The Packers are almost built to beat the Eagles in a sense. They have a tough runner in the backfield with Josh Jacobs. They have a lot of weapons outside for Jordan Love, and they play good defense. They rush the passer very well. A lot of athletic linebackers that could probably cause some fits for Jalen Hurts in the run game. Of course, I'm going to take the Eagles in this one, but I'm happy to report that the Eagles defense will hopefully be getting a lot better in the future after acquiring Michael Carter II, Jari Alexander, and Jalen Phillips this past week. Shout out Miami for that one.
The Packers at home are kind of like invincible, right? Unless you're the Carolina Panthers, who came into Lambeau and won last week. This is the NFL. I'm going to take the Eagles, but don't be surprised if Green Bay plays way better than they did against Carolina, because nobody plays the same 2 weeks in a row.
Before we're done with the Eagles fans here, too, also to note Brandon Graham return game.
Jerry, your Monday nights may be better than your Sunday.
Well, it was a pretty hectic game this week, but still came out on top. I'll take it.
Bear down, brother.
Win streak at one, but this game, I don't know. like Dell says it's the NFL. You never know. That's a terrible loss for Green Bay last week at home, even though Carolina is much improved. But for the first time this year, I'm going to pick the Eagles.
We don't love that.
We're done. This is the NFL, and Green Bay needs to get a win here. They're in a tough division with the Vikings and the Lions, also in that division.
And the Bears. Go ahead, take Green Bay. This could be a bad week. Things don't go your way, Jim.
It is the NFL. They did play awful against Carolina, but on a good note, did eliminate a lot of survivor picks.
Yes.
Because they played that bad, and it is a good matchup for Green Bay with their defense, they are at home in Lambeau. Give me the Pack.
I hope the Bills lose out.
You thought I was tough. You thought I was tough.
Thank God this is the last show.
Well, one thing I don't think we've mentioned yet, the Eagles are coming off a bye, correct?
Yes.
They'll be rested.
He can't pick Green Bay.
Who?
Why is that?
No, not a chance.
You're right. I'm not going to pick Green Bay. I'm going to pick the Eagles.
How about side note? How about the Seahawks? On a roll, baby.
Oh, baby.
Just keep it quiet. No, nobody talk about them yet. It's only midseason, just under the radar.
It's on you, coach.
You know the unfortunate thing about... Okay, I'm a Packer fan since I was a little kid.
You own part of that team.
No, I do not.
You know, your broadcast partner during the regular season has steak.
Yep.
And I don't mean meat packing steak.
Nope, you're right. They're in first place. They're 5-2-1. I don't know how. Now, they beat the Lions to start the season, and they look amazing.
Two teams in the division you have to worry about, them and the Lions.
You know, well, but the only thing is,
come on,
the Bears are 4-4 or 5-3.
We all can't play. We all can't play Grandpa.
The Vikings are 4-4. The Lions are 5-3, I think.
You're correct.
They played the Carolina Panthers. They're better, but they scored one stinking touchdown. They played the Browns. They scored one touchdown. They're not playing well. Plus, they got a couple linemen hurt. They lost their tight end. This is terrible for me to do this, but I'm going to pick the Eagles and hope they lose.
Yeah, I love this. We're back. We're back, Leroy.
Wow.
So Green Bay's giving up 2.5 here.
Yeah.
Right? I'm trying to look at the injury report here.
Tucker Kraft is a big injury.
Oh, huge.
Yeah, he was having a great year. He's having a great year.
Yeah.
Now, there are a lot of weapons there to that extent. Those receivers have quickly gone a couple years ago from worst to first.
AJ Brown is listed as questionable in this game.
He is every week.
Yeah, I was just going to say
that. He is every week.
We're all day-to-day, Chase.
He'll be there.
Yeah. I just can't pick the Eagles.
Don't blame you.
Yeah.
NFL.
Just like last week. Go ahead and do it.
We're thinking about bringing back Marv Fleming, but he's 80 years old. You don't know who I'm talking about.
But I just can't pick the Eagles.
There you go.
This is no different than any other time they're on the card. I can't pick the Eagles.
Add another loss.
Lavely. Give me Green Bay. Now, Jimmy. Here's your action.
This is awful.
Kent State at Ball State. Some local ties to this game. Neither team is off to an impressive start on the year.
No, this is offense 131 versus offense 132. I'm telling everyone to not watch this football game.
No.
This is not Maction. No. Maction is 48-47, triple reverse, double overtime. That's Maction. This is not Maction. This is going to be ugly.
They're both 3-5 and
score.
2-2 in the MAC.
Yeah, they can't score.
But two bad teams sometimes results in a great game, Jim.
Sure. You watch.
Just getting kicked off as we're recording.
Did anybody score yet?
Tell me Kent State to the house.
I'm going to get there.
Listen, I'm just going to follow the money here. Okay, this line opened at 2.5 right before we started recording. It's already up to 3.5. So I mean, the sharps on game day are going with Ball State. Kent State is down a couple linemen. I did read that today. So at home, give me Ball State.
Good pick. Well, gentlemen, I must say that this was a very, very intriguing year. Can Bob hold on over the next few weeks? Can Jerry climb up and take it? Will the champ return and come back? I mean, it's only three games, Eli.
But if you look at how we picked this week, this could be a very make or break week for a lot of us.
Very well could be. Could it all end in a tie?
I wish.
Shall we break the tie? Here we go. There is a tie-breaking question. Should after week 16 there be a tie at the top?
So Jerry and Dell, you guys don't have to answer this.
That is correct.
That is correct.
Just remember.
Oh, no. Yes, you do.
Okay.
Yes, you do. So the tie break question, and we're going to start and reward the man that's leading right now. So he will get to go first. You have to pick who will win a state championship in any of the classifications. However, the pick may not be duplicated.
Oh, I like that.
So we're going to start at the top, work our way to the end, and we're going to go alphabetical where the tie is. All right? So it's Leroy will follow Bob. Eli will follow Leroy. Jimmy will follow Eli. Then I will pick. Jerry will pick. Dell will pick. So you've got to pick a state championship. Doesn't matter what classification, but you got to pick the state champion, and then you can't duplicate anybody else's pick. Sound reasonable?
I'm okay with that.
This is an old TD Tips maneuver to break the tie at the end, should there be one, and there could be. So, Bob, you're on the clock.
Well, I wasn't expecting this.
No one was. That's why everybody's in their phones right now. And I'm going to ESPNU to put Kent State and Ball State on just for Jimmy.
I think I'm going to go with Northwestern and Lehigh.
Bob takes the AAA Northwestern Lehigh Tigers. Dr. Boyer, you're up.
I'm going to take Fort Cherry to win single A.
Okay, Doyle?
All right, this is one's for all the internet young kids, TikTokers, that probably don't listen to this program, but I wish they would. Here we go. Give me the team everybody's talking about in 6A. Give me LaSalle. Get out of here, Jim.
LaSalle College.
LaSalle.
Yes.
That's what I said.
They just beat St. Joe's Prep last week.
Right. What'd you think?
LaSalle College for Eli.
I thought you were...
LaSalle College. That's what I said.
They're a college team.
But they're going to lose to St. Joe's in the District Hall Final.
Nope.
Mm-hmm. He says no, Jimmy. It's up to you.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Peters Township.
Peters Township. Nice,
yeah. Peters Township is going to dominate, yeah.
Ooh, I guess I'm up and I can't get the story to show up. Uh-oh, I'm in trouble, Eli. I'm in trouble.
What are you going to do?
Are
you
going to
take those Hurricanes in 2A?
They're still out there.
You know what? They are still on the board, aren't they?
Yeah, they are.
That was my backup.
That was my backup. If you took Peters.
But
Jerry has no idea
who
to pick.
Who do we got here?
If Dell takes a Catholic school, I'm leaving
Peters
the show.
Peters Township over Pine Richland.
Yep.
And Roman Catholic.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I'm taking Avonworth.
I like that.
The Antelopes.
Jerry. Oh, he's still looking, cheating off his brother.
I mean, I don't have
him. He didn't have time to get stats ready for this.
I don't really.
Jerry, just take Schuylkill-Haven. There ain't nobody catching that
train. He doesn't have Jerry GPT open.
I mean, I'm not going to win anyway, so I'll take the Hurricanes.
Dell, did I steal your thunder?
No comment.
Well, you're up.
Well,
silence.
Yeah, that was. How about this for a name? A team that won it years ago. He helped me out, guys. He was a quarterback in all everything. He ended up going to University of Pittsburgh and ended up playing for the Cincinnati Bengals as a wide receiver for years and years and years. Can't think of the name.
Did he go to Clareton?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll go Clareton in Class A. My second choice was Harrisburg. But I think they made it to the finals last year, Harrisburg, didn't they?
Mm-hmm. Well, that'll do it for the season ending touchdown tips. We'll see if we need to use these tiebreakers or not. But we got to thank all of our fine sponsors. E.T. Everett Monuments and Memorials and Saucer Monuments, the Eagle Tavern, Quandle Concrete, Biro Septic and Drain, Alpine Building Supply, and Daywald and Lengel. Jimmy, any final thoughts?
Yeah, don't cry because it's over. Smile because it happened.
Ooh, baby. That'll do it for touchdown tips.